Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm going to become a left winger today. No comments from the peanut gallery. Yeah, thanks, Tom. I appreciate that. Out of curiosity, do I just have to hit the button to get to the first slide here? Because it's ready to go. Okay. First of all, before I begin, I really appreciate your prayers because every day the Lord grants me I need divine help. Every single day. So I really appreciate your prayers for me. I really, really need it. Before we actually look at a couple slides right here, I got a few slides. I was in school a long time ago. I graduated in 65. And one of my favorite classes when I was in school was history. That was one of my favorite classes. It was history. I loved history. And I loved ancient history. And today we're going to talk about ancient history, okay? We're going to talk about ancient history today. And two of the most important events in world history, excluding the 6 days of creation, we're going to talk about ancient history. And those colors aren't quite what I thought they'd be. It's supposed to, the yellow is supposed to be in red. I don't know what's the matter with the projector. I don't know why the yellow's in, or the red's in yellow. But anyway, you can still see the highlights there. So we're going to talk about ancient history today and two of the greatest events in world history that affect the destination of every single person since Adam in this world. A person's eternal destiny rests on these two events that happen in ancient history. And how that Christ died for your sins and my sins according to what? According to the scriptures. And when a person dies, what's the next thing you do? You bury him. You buried him. So they buried him. And then the second most important event, to confirm, again, that's supposed to be different colors, to confirm and that he arose again the third day according to what? The scriptures. So again, everybody's eternal destiny rests on these two events. And you know, we sang to him, I love to tell the story. Well, I love to talk about his story and how it saved my soul and changed my life. That's what I like to talk about. So that's what it's going to revolve around is these two events, okay? Reminders to respond to. So that's the title of my little talk today, Reminders to Respond to. The Bible, the inspired word, gives us three reminders concerning the Lord Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection that we need to not only remember, but they also demand a response in each of our lives. If we know the Lord Jesus as our personal Savior, these reasons demand a response. Well, the big question is, what are these three reminders? I will tell you. We will go through this. Well, we have, now that's an abbreviation. The DBR stands for His Death, Burial, and Resurrection, because I couldn't squeeze it all in. So please bear in mind, bear with me. DBR stands for His Death, Burial, and Resurrection. First of all, we need to have the reminder that it is a memorial. I don't know why that first line faded out. Number two, we have the reminder that Jesus' death, burial, and physical resurrection is a motivation. And number three, we have the reminder that Jesus' death, burial, and physical resurrection is a message. Do we as believers love to tell the story with our family and friends and our neighbors and co-workers and strangers? Do we love to tell the story? God help us. God help us, because there's a lot of million. There's staggering amounts of people in this world, rich and poor, small and great, simple and wise, do not have what we have. And they're looking for something. I appreciate that phrase I heard on Tuesday night at the rescue mission. There's a God-shaped hole or vacuum in the heart of every man, and only Christ can fill it. So people are looking for a purpose in life, and only the gospel, the death, burial, and physical resurrection is the only message that gave them hope. So it's a message. Okay, moving on. I'm disappointed in the colors, but that's the way it is. Okay, starting off, we have the reminder that Jesus' death, burial, and physical resurrection is a memorial. We got three reasons why it's a memorial. I'm sure there's more. Number one, it is a memorial for us, you and me, doctrinally, by the apostles' teaching. If you want to turn to Acts 2:42, that's fine. But I did put the verse up on the screen here. So it's a memorial for us doctrinally by the apostles' teaching. And Acts 2:42 reminds us, this is from the King James, and they, that is the disciples, and notice the verb phrase, continued steadfastly in what? In the apostles' doctrine or teaching and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Now, all the force, all the impact of the verse is in the verb phrase. They continue. Well, that's a good thing. But notice the adverb, how did they continue, which modifies continue. They were steadfast. They were steadfast. And so you have to ask the question, as I ask myself, do we continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine? Are we here every Sunday? Now, I realize sometimes health issues come up, circumstances come up, and we can't be here. But may that verb phrase be a testimony of your life and my life until the Lord Jesus comes concerning the Lord's Supper and being here every Sunday is to continue and be steadfast in it. So I love the impact of that verb phrase. They continued. How did they continue? Well, they were steadfast. And it made me think of 1 Corinthians, 15:57? And how does that go after about the resurrection? Now I'm forgetting it. Okay, that's okay. But that's a great verse. All right. So it's a memorial by doctrinally. It's a memorial for us weekly by the disciples' practice. Notice that it's a memorial for us weekly by the disciples' practice or their example. Acts chapter 20, verse 7. What I like about most of these verses I'm going to share with you, I can't really add to that. They're very straightforward. They're very clear. There's not really much that I can add to that. And upon the first day of the week, which would be Sunday, when the disciples came together to what? Break bread. So that was the disciples' practice after Jesus' resurrection, is on the first day of the week, or Sunday, was they came together to do what? To break bread. And may that be your practice and my practice all the days of our life, until the rapture or our home call, that we'd be just like the disciples. By the way, the scripture says there is no limit to how often you can do the Lord's Supper to break bread. There's no limit. If the elders were to call a meeting tonight and say we're going to break bread again, we could do that. You can do it 7 days a week. You can do it 3 times a day. Whatever. There's no limit. But the disciples' practice was on the first day of the week in memory of his resurrection on the third day, or which would have been Sunday, okay? So we have the reminder, it's by the apostles' doctrine, it was a memorial doctrinally. We had a reminder, and what did I just say, to doctrine and to practice? Okay. But here's the one that really counts. It is a memorial for us, you and me, personally, by our Savior's command. Now, there are other verses in the Gospels, and there's one in 1 Corinthians. And these are the words of our Lord Jesus before he went to the cross, knowing full well every detail of what was before him, all the spitting, all the blows, all the mocking, all the hatred, everything. He knew exactly what was going to happen to him. He said this in his prayer before. He says, "My body, which is given for you," you and me, little old you and me, "this is my blood, which is shed for you." I'm still lost in wonder that Jesus died for me. I'm still lost in wonder that who am I? Who am I to deserve the grace of God, the mercy of God, the love of God? Who was I? Who were you? But you know, how much more personal given for you, talking about disciples, but that's the same as for you and I today. And anybody in this world, Jesus willfully died for you and me. It's called substitution, that you and I could have our sins forgiven, we could have peace with God, we could have eternal life, we could have a home in heaven and so many benefits. I can't name that. But I'm still lost in wonder. And all the force of this, and notice the command, "this do in remembrance of me." I'm at that stage of life where I forget things. I mean, I'm forgetting things. I'm forgetting this, I forget to do that, and all this stuff and that. But this is the one thing I never want to forget. Do this in remembrance of who? The one who died for you and me. I'm still lost in wonder, and yet I'm still very thankful. And Tom, that's a great hymn. Not only a thousand thanksgiving, when we get to glory, the thanksgivings are going to never end. It's going to never end. And what a privilege we're going to be able to say in his presence, "thank you, Lord, for saving my soul." I mean, I get used to giving thanks, because that's what heaven's going to be all about. "This do in remembrance of me." Now, I got an interesting picture here, and probably most of you know about this. The Taj Mahal. It is considered one of the seven wonders of the world. I don't know if that still holds that ranking or not. It's considered one of the seven wonders of this world. Now, what the world considers wonders and what you and I consider wonders are two different things. It's considered one of the seven wonders of the world. I looked up some facts about the Taj Mahal on the internet. It was started in 1532, it was completed in 1552. No expense was spared. It has 28 different kind of precious jewels and stones in it. It's mostly all marble. It's all very expensive marble. It took 20,000 laborers to build, and that was not slave labor. They were all artisans like Julio and Peter over there. They were all very crafted, skilled. They were all very skilled in what they did. I mean, there was a lot of skill and expertise and details went into Taj Mahal. Well, the Taj Mahal was a gift by Shah Jahan, who was a Muslim, to his third wife. He had a few wives, called Mumtaz Mahal. It was actually a gift. Now, when it comes to gifts, it is the advice of the internet that this is the most expensive gift in world history that one individual has ever given to another individual. This is by the internet, and it was like 32 million rubies back in the 1500s. But if you were to do by inflation today, that Taj Mahal was worth over $1 billion and beyond in cost. $1 billion. And so it was quite a memorial to his wife and all these kind of things. And anyway, the highlight of the Taj Mahal is actually in the next slide. The cornerstone of this great building says, in memory of an undying love. Now that's a pretty powerful statement for a man to say to his wife or to dedicate to his wife, in memory of an undying love. That's a very touching statement. Unfortunately, that may not be the case for all human beings, especially if they die without Christ. It'll be an ending love. But in memory of an undying love, very commendable. But you know, the beauty of the Lord's Supper is he instituted the Lord's Supper, and what are the elements? Simple bread and simple wine. Not much cost there, is there? Not much cost. And what I want to refresh your memories and impress upon you, the memorial we do once a week, at least once a week, in the bread and the wine, that is the most precious, and that is the most costly and memorial that excels all the memorials in this world. Do you believe that? It excels every memorial. I have never been to the USS Arizona. That's a tremendous memorial. I have seen the Lincoln Memorial. I've seen the Washington Monument. I never saw the pyramid in Egypt. They took 75 years to build the pyramid. How many people lost their lives? Every nation has a memorial. But this memorial excels them all. And the beauty of this memorial is Jesus, the Son of God, the God of all the universe, the creator of all things, died for you and I. And I'm still lost in wonder, but yet I'm very thankful that this is the most precious memorial of all, and this is the one that's going to outlast them all. Because it says what in 1 John? The world is passing away. In all its memorials. But this memorial will come to an end either at the rapture, come quickly, Lord Jesus, or when we all get to heaven, there'll be no more breaking the bread and partaking the cup, because we are going to see him face to face. We're going to be in his presence. So I just want to remind you, this is a memorial that excels them all. How precious is this memorial to you and I, when we remember ancient history, what the Lord Jesus did for it? How really precious is it to you? Think about that. And so the question I want to ask you, and I ask myself, do we weekly, at least weekly, obey the Lord Jesus' command, do this in remembrance of who? Of me. God help us to do this continually and steadfastly as unto the Lord. God help us. Well, we have the reminder that Jesus' death, burial, and physical resurrection or bodily resurrection. By the way, the resurrection confirms that he was God. I forgot to add that he was God and so much more, is a motivation. You know, when you go to the local store or whatever, there's a books of motivation, they sell a dime a dozen. How to be rich, how to succeed, how to be happy, how to overcome the drink, how to overcome smoking, how to overcome this. I mean, books of motivation, they're a dime a dozen. My dear brothers and sisters, this is the book of motivation. This is the book that will outlast them all, too. This is where true motivation comes from. Okay? That's the greatest book on motivation. So we got a couple reasons here why we need to be motivated. Well, it's a motivation for us, and notice I don't know if daily is an adjective, daily to what? To live unto who? To live unto Christ. What turns you on? Mike and Bill, they work for Chevrolet, and it says Chevrolet drives the Motor City. The question I want to ask you, in day-to-day living, routine things of life, the hard knocks of life, the boring things, the things that attract us and distract us, who or what drives you? There's so many things to attract and distract us. And, you know, I get tired of doing this. Same old routine, you know, blah, blah, SOS. I won't tell you what that is in military terms. But anyway, who or what drives you? So it's a motivation for us daily to live unto Christ, the one who died to save us. Now that lovely verse says, for the love, I love emojis, or however you say it. For the, how do you say it? Emojis. Emojis help us to get emotional, okay? So, for the love of Christ, and notice the verb constrains us, holds us back, because we thus judge that if one died for all, and he did, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they, that is, you and I, which live, should not henceforth live unto ourselves, but unto him, which died for them and rose again. I can't add to that. I can't add to that. When we think about, we remember what the Lord Jesus did for us as we face a new day. This is, you know, it's just another day, but it's a day closer. What constrains us or what motivates us to live unto him? You know? I love that verb, constrains us. And wow, I really can't add to that. You know, I like what someone said. We're, you know, as Christians, we're not here to make a life, we're not here to make a living. We're here to make a life that counts for the Lord Jesus. And the scripture says, on a daily basis, we either sow to the spirit or we sow to the flesh. What are we sowing to? God help us to live a life unto our Savior. Daily, that is. Well, here's another interesting one. It's a little bit more, cuts a little bit deeper. It is a motivation for us to daily die unto ourselves. Paul said, I die daily. Yes, it is true. The outward man is perishing daily, but the inward man can what? Be renewed day by day. And again, I thank God for this book. If I make an effort to pick it up every day, it renews the inner man in me. Do you agree with that? That when we pick this up and make an effort to seek our Savior's face, it's called a quiet time, the inner man can be renewed. He can be encouraged. He can have a renewed hope. And all these good things. And talking about dying daily, we know we're physically dying daily. I never forgot one time when I went to an Indian conference and the guy had a Devo and he asked the audience, he says, what is the one thing that God wants us to do daily? And the hands went up, and the guy says, yeah, he says, what is it? He says, he wants us to read our Bibles daily. He says, yeah, I agree with that, but that's not what I'm looking for. And the guy says, oh, okay. He said, he wants us to talk to God in prayer daily. And he goes, yeah, I agree with that. And he said, but that's not what I'm looking for. And then there were some more other answers. What does God want us to do daily? And he kept on going, looking. He said, that's not what I'm looking for. And he says, turn to Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Here's what God wants us to do daily besides read our Bible, pray. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, we're talking about our sanctification, not salvation. Notice the next phrase, which is very hard for me because I got a constant battle with the flesh. Every day it's a battle between self and the Savior, you know, it's a battle. Let him deny himself. And do what? Take up his cross, and again, notice the word daily, and follow me. God wants you and I to die to self. He wants us to die to our plans. That is, if it's not Christ-centered, or, you know, for his glory. He wants us to die to ourself. He wants us to. You know, do my plans, is what God's plans are. We got to think about that. Is my plans, all my desires, is that what God wants? That's a challenge. Every day it's a battle. Me or the Lord? Me or the Lord? And of course, I know we're subject to failure and we're subject to forgetting, but I love the challenge of that. And you know what? A cross is an instrument of death. So the question is, are you and I dying to sin and self on a daily basis? I need help. I need help to do that. And I think I got a lot of company. Well, not only is the Lord Jesus' death, burial, and physical resurrection a memorial, and not only is it a motivation. Oh, I forgot one thing. Let's back up. Thank God there's an order here because I forget things. USA Today, I used to read that newspaper. It's very liberal. And when they raised the price from $1 to $2, I said, forget about it. I'm not giving them $2 a day to read the same old, SOS. I'm not giving them $2. So anyway, on my app, I was looking one day. It says interview with Staff Sergeant Ian Newland. This is a true story. He said this vow, and notice I put an emphasis on the word vow, concerning a fellow soldier who died for him. And this is what he said. Verbatim. I try not to live my life in vain for what he, this other soldier, has done for me. Now that's very commendable from one guy to another guy who, whatever, he took a bullet for him. I don't know what he did. But that's a tremendous challenge and a reminder to my own life. I have to ask myself today, am I living, for self or, just vain things? Or am I trying to live unto the one who has died for me? That's a great question. That is a great question. Who or what, besides on Sunday, who or what are we living unto? Who, And only God knows our hearts, and Lord help us. I like what the bumper sticker said, God allows U-turns. I don't know what your life is like the other 6 days of the week, and you don't know what my life is like, but God allows U-turns. And God help us to live our lives as unto the one who died for us. Lord help us. And thank God we can only take one day at a time. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow's a mystery. Today is here. What are we going to do today? All right. Now, last of all, we have the reminder that Jesus' death, burial, and physical resurrection is a message. It is a message for you and I to delight in. Now, I'm going to ask you, there's probably numerous verses you have that you like concerning why you love God's salvation. There's numerous verses. Why do you and I appreciate God's salvation, what He did for us? Numerous verses. I personally love the example of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 6a. In verses 8 and 9. Now, I just did an ellipse. I didn't include the whole thing. I just did a couple of the highlights, talking about you and I who are kept by our power. No, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. You and I are kept by the power of God. It's not our own power that we live the life. And notice the response, wherein you greatly, and again, notice the adverb. How do we rejoice? We greatly rejoice. And whom having not seen, you love. Think about that. I love the Lord Jesus. I've never seen Him. I think that's kind of hard to do, but we got the Word of God to help us. Whom having not seen, you love. And then it goes on to say, you rejoice with joy, and I love the superlative, unspeakable and full of glory. And a day is coming when you and I will receive the end of our faith, even the salvation of our souls. So in that great passage, you got salvation, you got sanctification, and you got glorification in that passage. Yes, Jesus died for you and me. There came a point in my life where I realized I was a sinner. I was lost. I couldn't save myself, and so forth. I took side with God. Yes, I can't save myself. I asked the Lord Jesus to save me. That's my spiritual salvation. Then you got your sanctification in the other verses. But someday, the ultimate salvation or deliverance is going to be in His presence. Glorification. No more presence of sin and no more power of sin. I'm looking forward to that day. I am looking forward to that day. No more presence of sin, no more power of sin. No more evil thoughts, no more plans, no more cares, no more worries, no more wants, no more pain, no more bills. A lot of no mores. I'm looking forward to that. And that should cause great rejoicing or delight. Do you agree with that? Do we delight in our salvation? Or do we just reserve that for Sunday only? I'm just so thankful what He has done for that, done for me. And notice the fruit of the Spirit, love, and what's the second thing? Joy. And peace. I just love that. It is a message for us to declare to the lost. Well, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What are we doing with it? You and I have this treasure in earthen vessels. Now, I don't think I put up the words on there. Can I borrow your hymn book, Tom? I will just quote this to you. Thank you very much. I love the title of this hymn, Rescue the Perishing. I got family members that are still in darkness, they're still lost. Former friends, neighbors, co-workers. Wherever you go, they're in abundance, they're everywhere. What page? I forgot to tell what page that on. 574. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that. I forgot to mark down. I will just read the words to you. I don't think I put it up on the thing here. Let me see. Find out in a minute. Okay, yes. So I'll back up. All right. I'm going to read the words of 574, this line, verses 1 and 2. This is a precious reminder to me that we're not here to make a living. We're here to make a life and to share the good news with others. Rescue the perishing. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, spiritually dying. Snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep over the erring one, lift up the fallen one. Tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, duty demands it. Strength for thy labor, the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently win them. Tell the poor wanderer a Savior has died. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is crucified, Jesus will save. Now, I think I failed. Forgive me, to put down the verse, Mark 16:15. I should have read that before I said that. Mark 16:15, I failed to put that up there. I will read it to you. And this verse is pointing its finger at me. What am I doing in my daily living? Okay, I got to find it here. All of a sudden, I can't find Mark. Mark 16:15. The Great Commission. And sadly for us, a lot of us, it's a great omission. Mark 16:15. And Jesus, as He was departing out of this world, and He said unto them, His disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. They are our family, they are our friends, they are our neighbors, they are our co-workers. They are even those people that you and I cannot get past because of their looks. That's one of my big struggles in personal evangelism, is I still am pretty good at judging people by the outward appearance. And if, you know, they're kind of really goofy looking, weird looking, intimidating looking, I go, oh, you know, I'm not so sure they want to hear the gospel. God, help us to get past their looks and their lifestyle. God, help us to preach the gospel. And you know what? The best prayer we can start off in everyday evangelism, if you have the gift or don't have the gift, Lord, would you please open a door for me to talk to my family or my friends or my neighbor or my coworker or a stranger, and would you please help me to open my mouth? God will honor those two prayers. If you have your struggles, and I have my struggles in personal evangelism, Lord, would you please open a door? I don't know what to say or how to say it, and please help me to open my mouth. God will help you. I don't know about you, I need his help in everything. I need divine help in everything. He'll honor that prayer. Keep on praying, Lord, please open a door to talk to them. Please help me to open my, you will do that. Okay, conclusion. Therefore, seeing we have these three reminders about our Savior's death, burial, and bodily resurrection, that it is a memorial, a motivation, and a message, let you and I respond with a love for and also in obedience to our Savior. God help us. God help us to respond in these things. Lord, help us. I can't speak for you, but I need help. I need help to do God's will. And this is his will for our lives, these three reminders. Let's close in prayer. Our Father in heaven, again, thank you for ancient history. Thank you for the Ancient of Days, the Lord Jesus. And Lord Jesus, again, thank you so very much from our still poor and sinful hearts. Thank you so very much again for your death, your burial, and your physical resurrection for us and for me to save our souls. I don't know how to respond, but thank you so much. And please help us concerning this event, your death, burial, and physical resurrection. Please help us to respond to these reminders, to be here on every Sunday for to break bread and partake of the cup. Please help us. Please help us to be motivated only onto you, because only you are worthy to live unto you. Help us in that today and the rest of the days of our life. And help us to rejoice every day in your salvation. And help us also to share it with the lost. We can do nothing without you. I can do absolutely nothing without you. Would you please help us in these three reminders that you and you alone would get all the glory. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.